Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. I'm being joined by our live blog directors, Jamie Jors and John Rahor, this morning. And we're getting ready for a Green Bay Packers game on Christmas against the Chicago Bears. To talk about that game and to talk about the Green Bay Packers, we have joining us to kick off the show on the phone, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us, as you do every Wednesday. Let's get right to it. The offensive line of the Packers have issues that have been well documented since the recent game against the Kansas City Chiefs. How did they perform this past week with all the shuffling, and how do you think they perform going forward?
As a unit, they didn't perform as well as you'd like them to see. The biggest problem, as it's been recently, is Marshall Newhouse. He allowed 1 sack and 5 pressures against Tom Bahali, who is one of the best pass rushers in the league. Everyone else seemed to fare okay. Derek Sherrod had some problems, but he's now out for the year, so that doesn't matter too much for us going forward. I feel like if TJ Lang has to start at right tackle, he'll be fine in the future, and Evan Dedrick Smith at left guard, I feel like those two places will be fine. I think going forward, the biggest concern will be Newhouse at left tackle, because going forward, this week he faces Julius Peppers, the following week Lawrence Jackson of Detroit, and then in the playoffs the possible pass rushers he could face is Auden Smith of San Francisco, who just destroyed Ben Roethlisberger on Monday Night Football, Will Smith of the Saints, who we've had problems with in the past, John Abraham of the Falcons, DeMarcus Ware of the Cowboys, and Jason Pierre-Paul of the Giants. All of those are pass rushers that you don't want to see in the future and are a problem with Marshall Newhouse struggling.
Well, the Packers could be looking forward to Chad Clifton possibly returning, see if that'll give him some stability. Last week, the focus was on Greg Jennings with his injury issues, kind of similar to this week, although the injury attention is on the offensive line. But last week, with the receivers and Greg Jennings, how did they perform against the Chiefs?
The receivers didn't perform nearly as well as you'd like. You would have hoped that someone would have stepped up, but 5 players dropped passes in that game, so now Aaron Rodgers has had a total of 40 players drop passes on him, which is tied for the most in the league. The biggest problem he had was when he was under pressure, which happened on 15 dropbacks, so that goes back to some of the offensive line problems. But typically, Rodgers fares better under pressure, but in this game, he only had 2 completions compared to 4 sacks. On the bright side, we did see Randall Cobb step up. He caught all 4 balls thrown his way for 53 yards, so we could possibly see him even more in the future since he had more snaps than he is used to getting thanks to the Greg Jennings injury.
The Packers were also missing Ryan Pickett along the defensive line. Did they miss Pickett?
Of course, they missed Pickett a little bit, as he's one of the best run-stopping defensive linemen the Packers have. At Pro Football Focus, we have a rating scale at each position, and on run defense, he has a rating of +3.6, where everything above 0 is above average, so that's good for Pickett. The only other defensive lineman that's performing well for the Packers is Jarius Winn at +3.7, which is good to hear. In this past game, all 5 of the defensive linemen performed very close to average, so we would have expected to see Pickett have a slightly positive rating. So in terms of that, there wasn't much difference. The Chiefs running backs averaged Thomas Jones 3.2 yards per carry, Jackie Battle 3.7 yards per carry, and Dexter McCluster 2.8 yards per carry. So all of those are a little below the league average. So as a whole, the Packers did well against the run defense against the Chiefs.
The pass rush seemed to be absent for the Packers, with very little coming from either Clay Matthews or Eric Walden. How much were they to blame for the poor defensive showing?
Yes, the whole defense as a unit performed terribly in terms of pass rush. There were zero sacks. Only once did they hit Kyle Orton, and they had just three pressures, which those numbers are typically what you would see out of Clay Matthews by himself. But as a team, that's not something you will want to see. Eric Walden didn't come up with any of that pressure and also had a really bad game in run defense. So that is partially to blame. And then since Kyle Orton had so much time to throw the ball, we saw the defensive back struggle. Sam Shields allowed four passes for 48 yards. Charles Woodson, 5 for 59 yards. And while Clay Matthews typically goes after the quarterback, there are times where he will go back into coverage, and the Chiefs seemed to target him when he did that, as he was thrown at 5 times and allowed 5 catches for 47 yards.
At inside linebacker, rookie DJ Smith got some significant playing time for the 4th straight game. How is he progressing?
He's continuing to play well. Last week, he had a really good game, which I talked about while I was on here. And this week, he had a pretty good game, and it was still better than the game that A.J. Hawk had this week. Smith had 2 big tackles for losses in the second half, which is mostly why his Pro Football Focus rating is better than A.J. Hawk's was. In terms of pass rush, neither of them had any pressure, although A.J. Hawk blitzed the quarterback more often, so you would have liked to see more pressure out of Hawk. And then in terms of coverage, they both allowed all the passes thrown their way to be caught, but our grading had A.J. Hawk having a few more negative plays. For example, one where it was clearly a running back screen, but Hawk ran the other way trying to go after a receiver that he didn't need to go after.
Charles Woodson appeared to be a bright spot for the Packers in last week's loss. What can we say about his performance?
He did really well against the run defense. Typically, you don't see a defensive back getting as many tackles as Woodson had in this game, but Woodson had, I believe, 11 of them. And we also keep track of stops, which are plays that are successful for the defense, so stopping them for a short amount of yards. And 6 of his tackles were stops, which led the team this week.
The Packers take on the Chicago Bears on Christmas this Sunday. We know the Bears have a ton of injuries on offense. Will their offense be able to hold up their end of the bargain, or will their defense make up for it?
I think the Bears' offense, there really isn't anything to be afraid of there. I'm hearing rumors that Josh McCown is starting at quarterback, and I would give you some statistics on him, but he has only played 33 snaps from 2008 to the present, and most of that has come in garbage time at the end of games. So there really isn't much that I have in terms of McCown. They're also, of course, without Forte, and then they are also without their best pass catcher, which isn't good. In terms of defense, the Bears' defense should be what the Packers typically see from them. Their scariest weapon is Julius Peppers at defensive line, so of course Marshall Newhouse will be responsible covering him, or TJ Lang at the other tackle spot. Their coverage is really good in that Brian Urlacher is one of the best coverage linebackers in the game, and their cornerbacks are both above average. The biggest weakness in the Bears' defense will probably be at safety, where one of their starters, Chris Conte, just landed on injured reserve, and their other starter, Major Wright, missed this last week's game, so he could miss this week as well. So the Bears will be really down on the depth chart at safety, since they've been trying to figure out the right combination of players for the past 2 years now, it feels like. So going deep might be the Packers' best option, so there could be more big plays, which we didn't see as much of against the Chiefs.
Nathan, we've got a question for you on the live blog, and kind of putting you on the spot here, but a question from John Rahor. Has A.J. Hawk regressed that much, or is his play in line with the regression of the rest of the Packers' defense, the whole entire unit?
I don't believe his play has regressed too much, at least in comparison to last year. Last year, the biggest thing that made Hawk a good player was how he was doing in coverage. If I can pull up the numbers quick, he only allowed 45 catches over the course of this season, with a lot of that coming early on in the season, and averaged less than 9 yards per catch, which you like to see a low average there. That compared to this year, where he has allowed less catches in less games, but his rating hasn't been as good. He only has 4 passes deflected and hasn't had an interception this year. And we've actually seen an improvement out of Hawk in terms of run defense, and his pass rush has stayed about the same, so I wouldn't say that Hawk has really regressed much. The big thing with him is comparing him to the other inside linebackers that the Packers have or have had. Desmond Bishop has consistently ranked near the top of the league in terms of our numbers. When he first started, he had 2 absolutely incredible games, so compared to Bishop, Hawk isn't as good. Compared to what we've seen out of Nick Barnett in the past, Hawk hasn't been good. And in terms of how well DJ Smith is playing now, Hawk isn't good. So it's really in comparison to what the Packers could be having compared to Hawk just having a bad year, which isn't true. He's just not as good as other players.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Something that comes to my mind is last year Hawk had several interceptions, and this year hasn't come up with at all, so hasn't come up with the big play. Nathan, just quickly, for those who may be new to joining us, what is ProFootballFocus.com all about?
Sure. At Pro Football Focus, we watch every game intensively and mark down every player on every play so we know exactly who is on the field. And then we also have someone grading the players, so we come up with statistics that no one else has. So we are able to rank players that other people can't using statistics that you simply can't find anywhere else.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Railbird Central, Nathan. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thank you. I look forward to it. And have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Thanks much. Take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, as I said, joining us every Wednesday, and welcome everyone to Railbird Central as we kick off the second half of the show, the downer, with me talking now. It seems like a letdown after talking to Nathan. He does such a great job of analyzing football, and we're lucky to have him on every week and providing, as I say, as always, their unique brand of statistical analysis at Pro Football Focus. But let's get to it, talking about the Packers as they get ready for the Chicago Bears on Sunday on Christmas Day. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, all those comments will show up on our live blog, and your comments are being approved as well as they're just streaming in on the live blog right now. And I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at the top of the live blog. If you happen to scroll up, open it up, follow along. Today's top story is about Badgers running back, former Badgers running back P.J. Hill, getting a tryout with the Packers on Monday. This according to Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And he writes, quote, Hill, 5 feet 10 inches and 218 pounds, has been out of football since being released by the New Orleans Saints in February. So, the Packers, you know, giving just a look-see to P.J. Hill, and, you know, seeing as we have a lot of listeners in Wisconsin and fans of the Wisconsin Badgers, they're acutely familiar with P.J. Hill, who had 3 1,000-yard rushing seasons for the Wisconsin Badgers back in his heyday in the late 2000s. And, you know, he had very good seasons. If I remember correct, he might have been the Big Ten's Offensive Player of the Year 1 year. But I kind of call him, from my own personal experience watching him, kind of a poor man's Ron Dane. And he was a good college running back. You know, he had the skills enough to be successful in college, which isn't the pros. And he gets to the pros, and he's too big, he's too slow to be effective at the next level, I think. And it kind of surprised me to see him at 218 pounds. I would have thought he was more than that. Not to say he's huge, approaching another like John Clay level, another former Badger we've seen who rumors had him up to almost 250 pounds at one point in his Badgers career. But anyhow, so, P.J. Hill getting a look-see from the Packers. No guarantee the Packers are going to sign him. So, I don't know how much, we can really sit here and analyze this. What happens as soon as the season is done, the regular season, teams can start signing players to their 80-man roster for next year. So that's what the Packers might be doing, looking to see whether they can sign Hill to a futures contract, whether he's worth it or not. And, there's very little risk involved in signing a player to a futures contract because they're usually for very little money and they can be cut at any time. And you see it every year. So that's kind of where the Packers are at with P.J. Hill. They worked out another player yesterday as well, a wide receiver, T.J. Green. So, again, just looking at players who they might sign in the future. Nobody for this year probably, unless all of a sudden the injury bug were to hit again. And speaking of injury bugs, the second story on this morning's Packers Daily Links is about the offensive line and the Packers signing a new player, Herb Taylor, a veteran, three-year veteran offensive lineman who used to play with the Chiefs, played in 18 games in 2007, 2008, has basically been out of the pros since 2009 when he was signed very briefly at the end of the season to play with the Broncos. Was in training camps in 2010 and 2011, but hasn't suited up for a regular season game. I think he played one season in the UFL with Las Vegas. So, he's been active. It's not like, the initial reaction I saw was on Twitter and social networking sites was that some fans were concerned that, all of a sudden the Packers signed a guy who hasn't played football in 2 years. And I'd caution people against worrying about that too much. I mean, he's played football. He's been in training camps. He's, just think it wasn't that long ago that the Packers were, at the Ray Nitschke Field, sweating their butts off, getting ready for the season. So, this guy does have experience. He has been in training camps, and he's a guy who has played meaningful regular season snaps. And I think that's why the Packers signed Herb Taylor, as opposed to elevating a guy from the practice squad like Chris Campbell, who's kind of a project. This guy is a veteran, a little more experienced, and really just a short-term solution. If he does well, maybe the Packers bring him back next year once again. But I mean, he's just a solution for this year for the most part. A guy they can bring in, see how he does. Hopefully he doesn't have to play. But basically, Herb Taylor will be the top backup at tackle this Sunday for the Packers. Should anything happen to Marshall Newhouse or T.J. Lang at right tackle, we're assuming T.J. Lang's going to play at right tackle on Sunday. Herb Taylor is probably the guy who's going to come in if either one of those would get hurt, knock on wood. You hope they don't, but the Packers are down to the nitty-gritty here in terms of depth on the offensive line. It's possible Chad Clifton could return this week, but I wouldn't call it likely. Of course, today, this afternoon, the attention's going to be on if Chad Clifton is able to practice. Mike McCarthy said on Monday that the goal was that Clifton would be able to participate in individual drills today. But individual drills is not team drills. That doesn't mean he's going to be ready for Sunday. I think what the Packers are going to try to do is if they can get him to practice this week, it's a step in the right direction. And maybe, just maybe next week in the regular season finale, they can find out if Clifton's ready to play. And kind of, hopefully the Packers wrap up the division this week, or wrap up, I mean, home field advantage. They've already got the division wrapped up. And then next week, in what would be essentially a meaningless game, they can find out if Chad Clifton is ready to return and ready to be a part of this team in their playoff run and push for the Super Bowl. So I think that's the way it'll go down for Chad Clifton. But anyway, getting back to the story here in today's Packers Daily Links, the Packers passing up on Mark Tauscher, who I think a lot of people wondered about once they saw Derek Sherrod go down this past Sunday, once they saw Brian Bulaga get injured. Could Mark Tauscher be the person they sign? Of course, the longtime Packer and Badger as well, and played his high school ball in Wisconsin. Mr. Wisconsin, Mark Tauscher, a guy whose Packer fans are, and Wisconsin fans in general have a lot of knowledge about, have seen him play for years. And a guy who has knowledge of the offense, a guy who was with the Packers last season, as early as last season, although he, too, ended up on injured reserve, but he's healthy now. And a story here from Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com, writing, quote, Tauscher's father, Denny, said that his son had yet to file his official NFL retirement papers. But when Tauscher worked as a guest color analyst on the broadcast of the University of Wisconsin's regular season finale against Penn State, he indicated he was finished playing. So take that for what you will. Whether he's done playing or retired or not, I guess is irrelevant at this point because, it's the Packers. They chose not to sign Tauscher, and unless another injury happens on the offensive line, they may not go that direction. And even if there is another injury, they just might think, well, Chad Clifton is going to come back, so maybe they don't sign another player anyhow. So John Rahor on the live blog commenting, Tauscher hasn't played in 18 months and struggled last year when he was playing. Love Tausch, but he's done. And that could be the case. I mean, it's hard to see, unless Tauscher is signed this season, there's probably an even lesser chance of him being signed next season. So, this certainly could almost be it. So, I think that sentiment is echoed by Packers fans everywhere. Comment from JChristian21, agreeing with John, love him and miss him. But he struggled last year. I think most Packer fans love Mark Tauscher. He'll be a member of the Packers Hall of Fame. He'll be remembered for the Super Bowl he helped the Packers win last year. Even though he did struggle, part of that team winning that Super Bowl ring. And part of the whole team that, certainly the build-up to that Super Bowl. Seasons of improving under Mike McCarthy. So, Nathan Yonke joining us on the live blog, saying right here, quote, the only possible argument I would give for Mark is he and Josh Sitton are familiar playing next to each other, which is helpful for linemen. And that's the only thing that could give him an edge up on other tackles if someone gets hurt. So we'll keep an eye out on Mark Tauscher should somebody else get hurt for the Packers. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but the way the flies are dropping, it just isn't good lately for the Packers all over. But I suppose I could point out how the Packers should be getting a little bit healthier this week. This past week against the Chiefs, their first loss of the season, they had so many injuries. You know, Clifton was out, and obviously Sherrod and Bulaga getting hurt, but I mean Ryan Pickett was out with a concussion. Both running backs, James Starks and Brandon Sane, were missing in that game. Desmond Bishop was out, and now this week you would think that these guys are gonna return, or some of them are going to return. It appeared that James Starks and Brandon Sane were on the precipice of returning. I remember last week Mike McCarthy saying they would both be game time decisions for the Chiefs game. So if they were game-time decisions then, they've had a little bit extra time now to rest and recover, and you would think those guys are ready to return. Last week, Mike McCarthy thought at the beginning of the week that Ryan Pickett would be able to play in the Chiefs game. That didn't turn out to be the case, but you got to think that he's got to be close to returning. On the live blog, Annie commenting, Bish needs to come back. And, you would think he's going to be just about at that point where he's ready to return as well. Are all these guys going to practice today? I don't know. There's still two more days of practice left this week, Thursday and Friday, to return. So, you know, you kind of keep your eye out every day this week. Who's practicing? Who's returning? How much are they practicing? Is it just going to be individual drills or team drills? And the Packers get ready for this game on Sunday against the Chicago Bears. I had written a column yesterday at Cheesehead TV saying the Packers need to play to win. I was kind of surprised to read some comments on the our blog at Cheesehead TV, people saying how the Packers need to rest their starters and you know, playing for this number one seed, home field advantage really isn't, you know, all that big, all that important. And it kind of shocked me to hear that. You know, the Packers, they had a chance to clinch home field advantage in the playoffs this past week against the Chiefs. Obviously, as everybody knows by now, the Packers lost and the San Francisco 49ers won. So, you know, really nothing was gained this past week. And, you know, it's the magic number is down to one. One Packers loss, or pardon me, San Francisco loss or tie, and one Packers win or tie, and the Packers clinch home field advantage. And I think the Packers, you know, they got to play as normal this week. They have to play to win against the Bears. I know the offensive line is banged up, and I know that the Packers really can't afford Aaron Rodgers to be hurt. But I mean, Aaron Rodgers has to play, and the Packers have to play to win, play like they would any other game. Maybe you have to change things with that patchwork offensive line, how, you know, how the offense operates. Perhaps you don't want Aaron Rodgers sitting back in that pocket too long, and you're taking three-step drops as opposed to five and seven, and you're running, you know, routes that get that, get the ball out of there. You're running some slants and screens and what have you, and plays in which Aaron Rodgers is not very likely to get hit. But, you know, the Packers have to play to win. They need home field advantage. Nathan Yonke commenting on the live blog, with how well the 49ers played Monday night against the Steelers, I would expect them to win their next two. And if the 49ers do win their next two, that means it's incumbent upon the Packers to win if they're going to get home field advantage. You know, it is so big to play at home in the playoffs at Lambeau. That's huge. That's huge. It's home field advantage. Yes, the Packers play well in domed environments, controlled environments. But, I mean, playing at Lambeau, I mean, that's an advantage. You've got, I tried to lay it out in my column, all the little things that happen that basically add up to a palpable difference. It's not having to travel. It's not having the possibility of that jet lag that you get from, especially that what could potentially be a trip to the West Coast if the 49ers got home field advantage. And again, that's something minor when taken alone, jet lag. But again, added up with all these other little advantages of playing at home, things about being in a comfortable environment, the routine that the Packers stay in. They're used to playing at home. Half their games every year being played at home. They're used to the, you know, staying at the team hotel and, you know, just the routine they get in, the food they eat. And then, of course, the game itself, you know, the crowd is on their side. It's louder when the opponent has the ball. It's being familiar and comfortable with their surroundings, knowing exactly where the play clocks are. It's the weather, you know, being used to the cold, whereas another team might not. And all these things are pretty small and tiny individually, but when you take all these little advantages and add them up, again, a palpable difference. You know, that's why they call it home field advantage. You know, they're saying about playing at home. And, you know, who doesn't want to see a game at Lambeau Field with the Super Bowl on the line? I know I do. On the live blog, talking about this weekend's game here. Kirk Cozad commenting, tight end's going to be chipping on Peppers to help Newhouse. Yeah, Marshall Newhouse certainly has had a couple rough games lately. And Newhouse is going to be under the microscope. But the Packers have nowhere to turn right now unless Chad Clifton can come back. So the Packers are, you know, stuck with Marshall Newhouse for better or worse. And you know, he struggled against elite defensive ends, elite pass rushers. But he's done okay, too. And the more experience Newhouse gets, the better off he's going to be. So, you know, the Packers probably do need to give him some help. You know, it's not just tight ends. It's everyone. I mean, tight ends included, certainly. But help from running backs, help from the left guard. And they'll need to give him that when he faces Peppers on Sunday. Comment from John Rahor. Sunday should be a blowout. Bears have zero offense, but their defense will be gunning for Rodgers. And it will be important for that offensive line to protect Rodgers. As we've said before, the Packers cannot afford to lose Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's so key to that offense. You know, they're going to want to protect him. And, you know, next week, maybe even more important, the following week when the Packers play the Lions. Lions have this, you know, image as being a dirty team a lot from Ndamukong Suh. And I can just see us sitting here a week from now talking about Ndamukong Suh and how the Packers are going to be gunning for him or, you know, preparing to, you know, face him. And who knows? I mean, if the Packers do have everything wrapped up, maybe Matt Flynn does play next week. Hard to say. I don't really know what's in the mind of the Packers, but all I know is home field advantage is still at stake, and the Packers have to play to win Sunday, regardless of the injury situation that may or may not happen. You know, fans can point back to the 2009 season and remember how the Packers beat the Cardinals in the last game of the regular season and then turned around the very next week and then lost to the Cardinals in the wild card round of the playoffs. It doesn't matter too much if you're not playing to win that last week, I don't think. But any more than that, I don't think you want to take multiple weeks off in the NFL. Kind of counterproductive. But anyway, thank you everybody for joining us so much today on Railbird Central for the first time in a week. I apologize, my hectic holiday schedule preventing episodes of Railbird Central last Friday and this Monday, but we'll be back on Friday again this week. We may be missing next Monday, the day after Christmas, as I'm on the road with some family as well. For the holidays, but definitely back next Wednesday for sure. What I'm going to try to do next Monday is tape our weekly interview with Tom Crabtree and air it, just not live, as we do every Monday. So anyhow, thank you everybody so much for joining us on Railbird Central this morning. For Jamie Jors, for John Rahor, thanks for joining us here. Make sure to check out our coverage all week at Cheesehead TV, and make sure to come back for the game on Sunday and come back for Railbird Central this Friday for another episode. See you later, everyone. Have a good Wednesday. Go Pack Go. I leave you with a song called Believe the Lie from Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone.